Father God, we come once more again into your presence. We thank you, Master, for what you did on that cross. As you died, you were buried, that you rose with all authority. And it's up to us to simply believe that work that you did. Not our work, but your work. So, Lord, help us to see things from your perspective. Open up our eyes and our spiritual ears to hear and see what you want us to see. And think the way you want us to think. Because our minds and our thinking is so deep in the darkness, we sometimes miss the very light of what you're trying to show us. So, Lord, help us walk in your light and in your truth. Reveal to us things that we need to understand that we are submitted unto you and show you daily that you are ours and we belong to you. So, Lord, have your way. We thank you, Lord, for this upcoming Sunday, that you continue to bless the church. We ask you, Lord, to make it a success on the Easter weekend. And we pray that those that are here and those on the phone line introduce others, at least 3 or 4 more people, to be a part of Sunday service. So, Lord, have your way. And we know you're going to use it in a powerful way. This is our prayer. And the saints of God that are in agreement with this prayer say amen.
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 In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, can I get you to stand to your feet as you open your Bibles this morning to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 7 says, "This is the message that we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light." Now, if I were you, I would underline them 3 words in my Bible. God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. Verse 5. "This is the message which we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light." Y'all reading with me? "And in him there is no darkness at all." Wait a minute, I done messed up, didn't I? Okay, verse 6. "And if we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." Verse 7. "But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin."
Amen.
You may be seated.
Amen.
Title of this morning's message, ST this morning, Jesus is the light.
Amen.
Let that sink in your thinking.
Amen.
Jesus is the light.
Amen.
Let's look at the first passage. So you see in the text, first text I want to look at is in John the 8th chapter, verse 12. John the 8th chapter, verse 12. "Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world." Underline that in your Bible. If you want to know where light comes from, he is the source. "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So you determine every day how much light of God's life is seen through you. Turn to St. John chapter 9, verse 5. Jesus said, "While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." How many people see Jesus because you are letting him be seen? ST number 1. Are you walking? And walking means living in the light. Are you? Only you can answer that. And if you're not walking in the light, then you need to question whether you are born again of the light. Born again of the light means Jesus' light is seen where?
Through me.
Through you. And God say he wants to be seen through you by everything you say and everything that you do. That's why we have communion here at the church. You are Jesus Christ, body and blood. Now we're going to stop right here and do this demonstration before some of us fall asleep. I'm going to ask Roman and Jay to come up at this time. This is the light. Are you seeing that? Can y'all see the light? Jay, I want you to get over there behind the piano. Go ahead and see. That's good. That's good. Can y'all see her? You got her on the camera? Okay. Now, I'm going to symbolize being God and the light. Okay? Let me move over here a little bit further. And every time I say take a step, I want both of y'all to take a step toward the light. Y'all getting this? Jesus said, I am the light. We are to see the light, and we are to now what? Follow him. Walk in his light. But I want you to pay attention to this demonstration. If Jesus say he is the light, we ought to be looking at who? The light, Jesus Christ. What we do is we spend a lot of time looking at others. So I had Jay get behind the piano, because a lot of times there's a problem between us and somebody else, and that piano symbolizes a problem. Okay? Jay's got a problem with Roman. Roman's got a problem with Jay. But the problem soon disappears if they keep looking at the what?
Light.
Keep looking at the light. So every time I say take a step, you take a step forward. Take a step forward. Now have you noticed what happened? They have gotten closer to what?
The light.
But at the same time, they are getting closer to who?
Yeah.
Ooh, man, that's the sermon. A lot of times, we still won't keep our eyes on the master. We won't keep our eyes on the light. Because when we don't keep our eyes on the light, he won't get closer to us, and we won't get closer to one another. This is a beautiful picture of the cross. Are y'all getting this? Take another step. See, when we walk in the light illuminates our mind and our thinking, and the closer we get to the light, the closer we get to one another. The further we get away from the light, the further we are from one another, and away from what he wants us to have. A picture of the cross. Take another step. See what's happening? Every time they take a step, they get closer to the what? And they also get closer to who? One another. Take another step. Y'all getting this illustration? Let it sink in. I can't have a blessing because I'm looking at the wrong stuff. I'm looking at she owes me, he owes me. She did something to me and I can't forgive her. The problem is you're looking at the wrong stuff. The title of today's message is what? Jesus is the light. That does this. All right. Thank y'all. Oh, sorry. Thank y'all. Now give him a hand. What God wants us to do is keep our eyes on the light. And when we keep our eyes on the light, we can see things properly. We keep our eyes on the wrong stuff. We keep our eyes on self. We keep our eyes on what I think. We keep our eyes on how I feel. God said it doesn't work that way. He says he is the light of the world. And I wish those that were on the phone line could see the demonstration. Because the more we walk closer to the light, we also walk closer with a relationship with one another. And let me just do a little teaching as we look at these other verses. Follow me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. What you focus in on is going to affect your thinking. What you focus in is going to affect what your mind is dealing with. Verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith.
Yeah.
Who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Y'all getting this?
Amen.
And look what it says in verse 3. For considering him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. If you just follow the Lord and keep your eyes on him, all these other distractions will keep you from getting the booby traps. Now, as I learned something. I learned that it's indebtedness that keeps us separated from one another. First of all, you might want to write these down. The first one is, I owe you. In other words, I've done something and I feel guilty because I did it to you. That's a barrier between one another. What's another barrier that's between one another? What I call indebtedness, the effect of sin in our relationship. They owe me. They did this to me. They owe me. See how that's going to affect one another? And you get angry and you respond with all kind of flustered response. Third, we got a problem with God. And we say, God owe us. And you know what? That's a bad way to think. When you think God owes you, God doesn't owe you what? Anything. And third, listen to this. I owe me. I deserve whatever it is. See how those four eyes can get in the way of indebtedness? Because it has to do with our what?
Thinking.
Our thinking. Now let me say this. If you were on the phone line this week, you learned God always answers prayer, and the prayer he always answers is to help your thinking. That's the promise that people done went over and missed because they get busy and caught up on stuff. And you say, well, Lord, I prayed for this and you didn't answer. I answered. Well, I was trying to get your mind right and you still stuck on other stuff. So I only gave you what you're able to handle at that point. I answered. See, we need to learn when God makes a promise, he fulfills it. And we believe the lie that Satan wants us to think, well, God didn't answer. No, he didn't answer the way you want it because he says it's according to his will. And what's God's will? God's will that none perish and that all come to repentance.
That's it.
I think it's 2 Peter 3:9. Don't quote me because I sometimes butcher up stuff. But see, we need to learn to take advantage of the situation that God has given us. ST number 2. Do what Jesus says. Are y'all listening? Is looking at the light. Doing what Jesus says is looking at the light. Remember 1 John chapter 1 verse 5 through 7. Let me give you some thought. Let me give you something to think about. When you're obeying Christ, you're looking at him. You're looking at the light. When you're loving others, you're looking at him. You're looking at the light. When you're trusting Christ, you're looking at the light. When you're forgiving others, you're looking at the light. When you're being kind to people, kind to other people, you're looking at the light. When you're being patient with someone that you done got to the last inch of your patience, you're looking at the light. And let me hit with a big one that the church is guilty of. When you telling others about Jesus, you're looking at the light. So there's a dead monkey on the line. The reason why God doesn't answer a lot of prayers, because our thinking is messed up. If Jesus promised to answer every prayer, what does that mean? He said, whatsoever. Whatsoever has to do with his will. And his will is tied up in his son. So are you looking at the light? Remember the illustration. Every time you take a step toward him, the people around you get closer to you. And you get closer to them. The problem is we let sin, like the barrier of the piano, get in the way. If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, I'm sorry. Verse 16. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive what?
Mercy.
And find grace to help in time of need. And if God has been gracious to you and has saved you, what is he expecting you to be? Gracious to somebody else. Kind to somebody else. And we say, no, God, I can't do that. You don't know what they did to me. Then you done moved that indebtedness of sin to be the barrier to keep you walking closer to the light. And do you know what God's will is? Let me just explain this. Because a lot of times we think God's will is all this other stuff. God's will is wrapped up and tied up in one person and one person alone. That is his son, Jesus Christ. And what is God's desire? God desires that none perish and all come to repentance. John chapter 6 says, this is the will of him who sent me. He says, and he what? And to behold and believe in his son and have eternal life. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that? You tell God every day, ST number 2, do what Jesus says is looking at the light. If Jesus told me to forgive, are y'all listening?
Amen.
What should I be doing?
Amen.
Should be forgiving. Then I'm walking where? In the light. If Jesus told me to be patient, and no matter what that person is doing, what should I be doing? Being patient, right? Then I'm walking in the light. You tell God every day how much light gets seen on the planet through you.
Amen.
Don't you know there's advantages and there's disadvantages? So when you do what God say, there's an advantage because you get closer to him. When you don't do what God say, that's a disadvantage. You get further away from it. Like this illustration that I like. As an adult, nobody can stop you from eating salt and sugar. That's an advantage. But a disadvantage, nobody can stop you from eating salt and sugar. See, what God says is these things have been put in place to help you grow. These things have been in place to help you get a closer relationship with me. So turn back to 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 and 7, and we're going to close this message out. See, what you see in your spiritual thinking says a lot to do what your conduct going to be like. And God said, I save you first and foremost to give an answer to your thinking. I'm going to answer it every time. And if you don't see the light of Jesus Christ influencing your mind, you're already in darkness. And God said, I promise to answer. I promise every time you ask, he said, whatsoever is thinking godly. I answer every time. But a lot of times we don't want to receive thinking godly. Because we like living what? Fleshly. Am I helping somebody today? Look what it says in verse 5 again. This is the message which we have heard from him. What is the message? Are you listening? And I announce to you, God is light. What am I holding up? I'm holding up a light. Can everybody see the light? In order to be saved, you have to see the what?
Light.
See the light of Christ Jesus. What did Christ Jesus do? He died on that cross and shed his blood for us. I think I done lost my battery, but anyway, we'll keep going. Notice what else it says. And in him there is what?
No darkness.
No darkness. When God said there is no darkness, what does that mean?
No darkness.
No darkness. God is always looking to see, is there light in you? Look what it says in the next verse. And if we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, what are we doing?
We lie.
We lie. You lie to yourself if you think you're doing what Jesus say. If Jesus say love, what we should be doing?
Loving.
And then we're walking in the truth. But a lot of us believe in the lie. Well, I would love them, but I told Brother Brandon on the phone call last week, we need to get the but out of the way. A lot of times we let the blessing of what God is saying be the hindrance of drawing closer to him. Last passage, James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw where? So what's the problem? There's a dead monkey online in the church. Because a lot of people really don't want to draw near to who?
God.
They don't want to draw near to God. They don't want to draw near to him. And God says, as soon as that happens, I draw back. And he says, why? Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. What's the problem? We double-minded. Double-mindedness is the thing that keeps us from being intimate with a holy God. Because we tell God every day, on a daily basis, I'm going to do it my way. When you choose to do it your way, you hinder the whole light of God being seen. Where? Now, let me do this. If you're in the sanctuary, and you don't know Christ out of pardon of your sin, that's what we want to deal with today. If you're on the phone line, or if you're on the video, and you're out there on YouTube or Facebook, and you haven't made Christ your Savior, that's what this time is about. Every service, we call the invitation, opening the doors of the church, is inviting people that don't know Christ to come to Him. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ out of pardon of your sin, that's what He wants you to do. Accept what He did on that cross.
Amen.
Are you accepting that? So as the music plays softly, we want to give you an invitation to trust Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. Your fallen nature has separated you from a holy God. And God died on that cross so you can be right with Him for how long? Forever. And once God saved you, nothing can separate you from the love of God. That's why when you come to an understanding that I need to trust Christ for my sin, at that moment, He saves you. At that moment, He places you in the kingdom of God. At that moment, you never ever will be able to be separated from a holy God. The doors of the church are open.